Something goes wrong with you know, the underlying infrastructure, the hardware that's working there, or maybe an update needs to come in to the base operating system. The Azure environment will go and grab an instance, take it down, patch it for you, and put it back up, or move it to a working environment. So that's one of the first things you'll notice, is if you relied on physical state to exist on that machine, that's the first thing you'll have to go and work with and move into a different kind of environment. So that's just real basic concepts that we'll see as we get into the demos. You saw this slide a little bit ago when Dave was talking about the various options we have for storage. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. Dave spent quite a bit of time giving you a good overview of what this is. But really, you know, thinking about you have, you know, the Azure storage capabilities where you can store things like blobs, table storage, basic table storage, you know, kind of a queuing mechanism for sort of intra-app message transferring, and a great way, a very common way for people to go and move messages or move data between their web roles and their background worker roles. And of course, SQL Azure, our rich relational data store in the cloud environment. For the purpose of our demo, we'll take advantage mostly of SQL Azure, since we're starting with a SQL Server database. If we have time, we'll look at taking advantage of blob storage as well for just quickly storing some things like images and stuff that our application needs. The last kind of bit of overview here, so when we talk about Visual Studio, the Visual Studio tooling support for the Azure environment is available as an add-on to the core Visual Studio product. We don't actually ship the tools within Visual Studio. Main reason for that is the fact that we need the ability to update that tooling on a pretty regular basis. So we actually ship updates to the Visual Studio tools about once every 3 months, sometimes a little faster than that, all based on what's going on in the underlying platform, feedback from you folks that are building solutions and the things that you need. So it really allows you to today get that core Visual Studio developer experience, right? That write code, you know, kind of edit, compile, debug, rinse, repeat kind of experience that you expect from Visual Studio in the cloud environment. With that, we package up aspects of the Azure SDK, so we give you local simulation environments for the compute instances and the storage instances, so you can do your iterative debugging locally on your machine. You can work completely disconnected and do some development that way if you need to, without actually working with the live Azure instances. An important thing that we support here is the ability to start using these tools from beginning with the Visual Web Developer Express product, so the free offer. You can download the tools, work with that, all the way up through the rest of the members of the Visual Studio SKU family. And one of the things I'll do today is show you a little bit about what experiences we get just as kind of the core offering, so they would work with the Web Developer Express product, and then how the more advanced capabilities of Visual Studio Premium or Visual Studio Ultimate also apply to you when you're working in the Azure environment. So that's what we'll look at when we look at some of the more advanced debugging and profiling capabilities. How do you get the tools? Well, there's two ways. We put a little bit of a little kind of advertisement project template in Visual Studio itself. So you'll see that there's a project template to create a cloud project that will go out and trigger an install of the latest tools for you if you don't have them. Or you can also go out to the Windows Azure site and go right into the develop area, and we'll take you right into that installation experience and get you set up. If you don't have anything, we'll default to installing Visual Web Developer Express for you on your machine. So with that, I realize most folks are online, so this doesn't necessarily apply to you, but those of you in the room, I know you just got done with lunch, so let's switch over and start doing some demos, maybe keep this a little bit more exciting for you guys and me, and we can all kind of stay awake. So over here on my demo machine, what I've got is I've got this initial solution, which is just a simple MVC, standard MVC application to do some contact management. So let's go ahead and hit F5 and just take a look at what this application does. See, pretty straightforward application, allows me to see a list of my contacts. I can put them in various groups. I can create a new contact. So maybe you want to go in here and let's create, you know, something for Mr. Guthrie. I'm going to give him a phone number, get an email address, and then we can choose a photo as well. So let's see, I've got a nice little picture of Scott here. I'll go ahead and put that in there, submit it, and now we've gone and we've submitted that to our database. This is actually all running locally in my environment. So behind this, I have a SQL Server, in this case, SQL Server Express database, that's actually working and serving up the data for this solution. Okay, I want to take this application, and I want to move this application to the Azure environment. Now, the first thing I want to do, there's lots of ways I could approach this, but the most straightforward way I've found for folks to start moving is to start by moving the data. So let's move our database first. A little bit earlier, you saw, actually Dave and Dave, show a demo of the database tooling inside of Visual Studio. So that's actually a great way to go do this. You can go load up that data tools experience, let it go extract the schema of your existing solution, and turn around and redeploy that into the Azure, into a SQL Azure environment. Whoa, didn't mean to do that. Let's go back to our machine here. Sorry. There's some other utilities out there. There's a tool that's been around for a little while. It's out actually off of CodePlex. It's a little SQL migration tool. Really quick tool, allows you to really quickly and easily go through and grab all the schema and data from a local instance that you have and get it up into SQL Azure. This is really good when you've got a straightforward schema that you know is going to stay within the constraints of the current SQL Azure environment. They don't have as rich an experience for detecting where things do or don't work. But in this case, we just go in and we just say, hey, let's go point it to our SQL Express database here. Go ahead and connect up. You know, choose the database we want. In this case, we could grab our context database. It allows us to go through and choose which things we want to script. So in this case, I can just go ahead and script all tables, all objects. It's going to produce that script. You'll see part of what's going to get here is some BCP commands to actually get the data out. So now you have the data out in a form that we can send it up. When we say next, it's now going to ask us for our SQL Azure instance that we want to go use. So I can switch over here to my browser, switch to my management portal, go into my database area. You see I have all my various SQL database subscriptions. I could just grab one, copy that, switch back to our tool. Paste that in, specify our login credentials here. So in this case, we'll just specify my username, specify my password. Oops. All right, and go ahead and connect up. It's going to tell me that it needs to fully qualify the name. Again, now it's going to go look at which databases are available on that server that I connected to. Enumerate those. I could go and choose an existing database here that I want to publish into, or if I needed to, I could go create a new one, specify the name for it and the size and so forth, and then complete the process and let it shove that data up. Rather than make you guys wait for that, you can see I've already kind of done that with this contracts test database here, so we'll just use that existing one that's up in the environment. But had we chose to create a new one, those scripts would have executed, the BCP commands would have fired, all the data would have gotten shoved up, and I would now be able to look at the data that I had now in SQL, SQL Azure, as opposed to my local on-premise SQL Server machine. So now that I've done that, let's come back into Visual Studio here, and what we need to do is go update this application so it can start looking at the data sitting in SQL Azure. So to do that, we'll come into our web config file here, and what I'm going to do is I'm just going to comment out, oops, not that one, we'll comment out the existing entry in our web config file for the database, and I'll just pop in a new one. And what I need to do is switch this, because I'm using a different named instance. I had planned, so we'll scroll over here. And you see we got ContextDB. We're going to call it ContextTest. And you notice that it's going against my SQL Azure instance. So you see that right here with the server name, being that really easy to remember and understand name here. Let's go ahead and save that. We'll hit F5 and run our application again. And now you see we've got our solution is loading, and it's now loading from our SQL Azure database. So we can go and we can continue working with this. We can create a new contact. Let's create maybe myself. Give myself a little phone number. Little tip for folks when you demo. You know, putting all the validation rules in the UI is not always their best thing to do, because you have to actually follow the validation rules. We all learn. Live and learn. Go ahead and say browse and create. That's going to go ahead and create, and it's added me up there. I can go ahead and delete me as well, because maybe I don't want to talk to myself, and so forth. So we see our applications working, and now we're working with an on-prem, or in our case, local to my development environment, compute instance, just running an IIS or IIS Express, talking to a remote database. Scott mentioned this morning the idea of a hybrid kind of solution. This is an example of a hybrid environment. We could be done and decide that all we really wanted was a better scale and availability from a SQL Azure database, but we still want to manage our compute instances ourselves, in which case we're done. We've now migrated the data, and we're having our application talk from our on-prem environment off to our SQL Azure database. But since we have about 45 minutes left, let's keep going, right, and do a little bit more. So we'll close that down. Back here in Visual Studio, let me close the web config file. What we want to do is we want to go and start modifying our application to actually deploy it into the Azure environment. One of the things we added in the Visual Studio Tools update that came out, actually we added this, I believe, in the September release, so it's also in the November release, is a little bit more direct path for taking an existing web solution and deploying it to the Azure environment. So I can click on my web project here and use the new add Windows Azure deployment project command. And what this will do is add a cloud project into my solution and hook it up to the existing web project that I had. I won't be offended, folks in the room, if you want to applaud. That's quite okay. It used to be a little painful. We also used to send you down kind of usually the wrong path. We'd have you create a new project with the cloud first and then go, yeah. So this makes it a little more obvious that it's a straightforward, supportive path to do that. You see, we try to do a little naming convention here. We default by putting .azure at the end of that project name just to keep it sort of related to the other one and let you know this is the cloud project. Again, you can change it if you want to. It's one of these cases where we decided that cloud project one was probably always going to be wrong. So we'll do something a little more intelligent for you with that name. And now you see I have what I'd expect. I can go work with this cloud project, but for right now, let's just F5 and see what's changed in my environment. The big change we're going to see is that because the cloud project is now the startup project, rather than F5ing running against the local developer instance of IIS or IIS Express, we're going to now run through the compute simulation environment. So we actually have Windows Azure compute and storage simulators that have kicked up and started running here. So I'm now running in a more of a simulated environment. If I go over here and look, you see that I have these two things showing up. If I pull up the compute emulator, what we should see is that we see that we've got my solution loading up here. I've only got a single instance, but you see it's there, and I'm seeing the output, basically kind of log output from that instance that I can look at as part of my development experience if I wanted to. If I want, I can go and start working with this and start simulating multiple instances of my application right now locally and let the software load balancer kind of kick in and try to give me a little bit of a sense of what that environment's going to be like. So here we go. Our application's still there, still running. We can still go create new contacts if we wanted to. So, you know, Jay. Browse, grab my photo again, save it. Now, we're still going to use the remote SQL Azure database in this case, right? We didn't change that, but everything else is running against a local simulation environment. We'll go ahead and delete me again. We're just going to keep adding and deleting me for a while today, I have a feeling. So that's our basic environment. We can set breakpoints. We can step through code now. We can do all that debugging just under that simulation environment if we so choose. The other thing we can do is let's go ahead and use the product to let it see a little bit of these concepts that I talked about before and how you can control them and set them as part of your development experience. When I double-click on the role, the contact manager role, you see I have the initial kind of designer for that role definition. So one of the things I can do is I can specify how many instances of the role I want. I'm using a single instance here. If I wanted to do, you know, four instances, I could change it to four, and now even the local simulation environment will spin up four instances of that web role for me when I hit F5. We can specify the size of VM we want to be simulating against and using as part of our deployments and so forth. Lots of other settings and configuration we can do in here, but we'll come back to it over time throughout the demo. Okay, so we've got this kind of set up and configured. Seems like we're pretty good, right? Seems like we're ready to go. So let's go ahead and right-click. And what we'll do is, using that project, we'll say publish. Now, I believe Scott showed this to you this morning, but one of the things we did in the November release was we're constantly trying to streamline this experience for you and make it easier and easier for you to get your solutions and get up and running in the Azure environment. So if you're the first time through, we've now given you the ability to go and obtain this settings file, right? A published settings file. I believe Scott showed you that this morning, but this takes me off to the portal where I can download that file. I've already done it, as you can see, in my environment here. So we see which subscriptions I have. In this case, we'll just use my demo subscription. When we say next, we now have everything on the local machine that we need to communicate with the management APIs on the portal. So we can go and grab all of the hosted services you've defined. So in this case, you see all the ones I've created. If I don't have one, we can create them right from within the Visual Studio environment now. Really trying to streamline that experience. I used to have to jokingly refer to this as the Visual Studio experience. If you're familiar with it originally, we gave you lots of opportunities to familiarize yourself with the portal, because you'd have to go up there and make a setting, copy it back, and that sort. Try to eliminate all of that as part of this release, so we can now stay within the tool that you use as a developer every day, Visual Studio, and get your work accomplished. So we could create a new service, we could choose a region, and so forth. In my case, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go ahead and deploy it to this demo environment. We can specify which environment the production or staging of that service we want, configuration of the build, so we'll do a release build. And then one of the things we added was the ability to have multiple configurations that we understand. So by default, we give you two, a local configuration and a cloud configuration. You can now, that makes it easy for you to switch between them so that if you're have various settings that you want to move between a local environment versus a cloud environment, you can define them all in one set of configurations, switch between them, and we'll update all those settings for you. And we create these settings and profiles by default. Let's go ahead and enable remote desktop. That's something we might want to do, is go do some debugging by peering into that cloud instance. So we'll just need to go in and specify a little more information. We'll give it a name and a password. Oops. That's not the password I wanted. We can specify an expiration date. By default, we'll go for a year out. Say OK. We could also enable the ability to do web deploy to these individual instances. This allows us to go, when we're developing, be a lot more iterative. If all we need to do is change content, change assemblies, those kind of things, we can just do web deploy and push those up immediately into that instance rather than waiting for a full upgrade cycle of the hosted service. Makes it a lot more efficient as you're trying to go and iteratively build things. Yeah, that's usually where people clap on that one a lot, too, but guess not. Now, that's all stuff that happens in the basic environment. So with the basic, using something like Visual Web Developer Express or even the Visual Studio Professional product, you can do all of those things. As you get higher up into the Visual Studio SKU family and things like Premium and Ultimate, we light up additional capabilities that are available in those products. So in this case, I'm running inside of Visual Studio Ultimate, so I have everything available to me. And you'll notice in the advanced settings here, I have the ability to turn on some additional capabilities like the IntelliTrace capability or the profiling tools. What I'll do is let's go ahead and just say we're going to turn on the IntelliTrace capability so we get some that plug-in and it will be part of our role instance when it's deployed, and we can grab those logs off if we need to. I should call out one of the other things that we've done in the November release is we, by default, will go and use an upgrade path when you republish your solution into Azure. Now, we'll do the best we can to detect when that's not going to be possible, but in most cases, that will work. And that will cut your deployment time down considerably. So updates right now are taking, 5 to 7 minutes, depending on the data center you're going to and the size of the solution you're pushing up, versus closer to 10 minutes. So cutting that in half is a pretty big deal, I think, for folks when you need to do a fuller deployment. So next, we'll give you a summary. You see, we also create a target profile for you now as well. So we'll collect all this stuff together into just a profile file that will can travel with your solution. And now you can use, and again, you can switch between these as well. So if you have multiple environments you need to work with, you can set up these profiles that contain all these settings, make it quick and easy to go and move between them. So when we're ready to go, we could just say go ahead and say publish. And Visual Studio is going to go off, create the package we need to. So we'll create all the CS packages that we need to do. We'll start sending them off to the Azure environment. And then in a second here, we'll get into a completely asynchronous mode. Yep, go ahead and replace it. You see we've got the Azure activity log that starts coming up. So now this is an asynchronous operation. I can go back into Visual Studio. I can start doing whatever I need to do. And this log will just keep updating in the background. Couple things we've done here. We've tried to put even more verbose information into this activity log so you can see what's going on, as well as give you helpful information that you may need to diagnose something that's happening. So you saw we had the subscription that's in there, very easy to copy out. in a second here, once the package is uploading and we start the deployment, we'll have a deployment ID. We'll also come back to us and we'll put that in your log for you so you can see which deployment ID is working on. And then as we're going through and the various stages of VMs are moving through their lifecycle, we'll update the activity log so that you see what's happening, whether it's, you know, in this case, just still uploading the packages versus starting a VM versus initializing a VM and so forth. So now, you know, in about 5 or 6 minutes, we'll see this update, so we can all just kind of hang out for 5 or 6. Nah, we're not going to do that. But yeah, you get the idea, right? We go and go through those things and make that happen. What I've done to speed up things a little bit for us is I've got another instance over here where I deployed with those exact same settings to a different hosted service slot. So you see I've got this Cloud Manager-IntelliTrace that I deployed to. You see my activity log here with that additional information that I talked about, all the various steps, right? The deployment ID. So if you did have to call support, one of the things they typically ask you for right away is what's the deployment ID? Well, now you've got it right there in your activity log. You can copy and paste it, send it over, whatever you need to do, as well as some more verbose information. This is completed, so we'll go ahead and we can hit that link. And this will take us right to that instance of our application, assuming it's up and woken up. Come on. There we go. So here's our app that we'd saw before, now running in an instance in Azure, running in a web role in Azure. You know, I can go through, I can see my friends. Oh, don't have any friends. No comments from the front row. We can go ahead and let's go create a new contact. So we'll go ahead and maybe create myself again. So grab a photo. Go to my pictures. And say create. And now we'll see that whoops. Well, that's not cool. Fortunately for us, we're actually trying to show you how to do debugging. So this is the one time when an error is actually a good thing for me. Okay, so I have this runtime error. You know, by default, I don't have any additional information coming at me, so it's really helpful, really obvious what happened and what went wrong, right? Probably going to be pulling my hair out for a little while. Well, there's a couple things that we can do, and Visual Studio can provide us to make this a little bit easier. So let's switch over to Visual Studio. Let me go into the Server Explorer, and one of the things, you know, in the spirit of trying to make all of the things you're used to using in Visual Studio available to you, regardless of what environment you're working in, whether you're targeting, you know, things like Office and SharePoint or Azure or on-prem, we've extended the Server Explorer to include the ability to look at your compute instances that are running, to look at storage and so forth. So you see what I've got here is I have that instance of my deployment showing up in my Server Explorer. And what I can do is I can right-click, and because I turned on IntelliTrace as part of the deployment, I just go right here and say, hey, download my IntelliTrace logs. And what you're going to see is that we're going to add an entry here to the activity log. We're going to go off and we're going to package up those IntelliTrace logs, throw them into your storage account temporarily, and then pull them down to your Visual Studio instance. This usually takes a minute or two. So we'll see. There we go. Looks like it's uploading it. Going to pull it down. And then it'll pop it open into our Visual Studio environment. For those of you that have aren't familiar with IntelliTrace, in all honesty, it's probably one of the coolest things that I've seen come through in Visual Studio for quite a while. Often people like to refer to it as the DVR for debugging. So you can kind of back up, fast forward. You get a real honest historic view of what was happening when an issue arose. So you can use it in a live mode when you're actually iteratively debugging. I find it really helpful. I'm one of those people that I get a little impatient when I'm trying to step through code and find an error. And more often than not, I'll step right over the cause, right? And I'm like, all right, here we go, back again. Well, IntelliTrace allows you to kind of step backwards in that environment. In this case, what it's doing is actually it's going to recreate the environment that as it existed in that instance when that exception occurred. So it's got enough data being gathered that it's almost like I was live debugging when the issue happened. Now, there's levers to turn to determine how much data you want and how much verbosity. But you see, we've downloaded that log. And now we can go through and we can look at kind of what's been going on here within our application, right? We can see the threads that were happening. We can see, as we scroll down, we can see various information about the exceptions going on. We see there's a fair number of exceptions happening. One of them, let's find the one that I was really looking for. Ah, here we go. Could not find path. All right, so it's looking for this path here as part of the application. Now, I happen to know that what this application does is when it grabs the file out of the HTTP header, it temporarily writes it to disk to work with it, and then it's going to go delete it. And so if I look, you see over here, well, you probably don't see it because it's not shown, I've got this uploads folder as part of my solution, right? And that's what I'm trying to write these things into. So it's telling me that it can't find some part of that path. Not quite sure what that means yet, so let's start debugging it. First thing I might want to do is go to my management portal, go into my hosted services, and log back in. Okay, so we'll go into our hosted services. Once this loads up, we'll go into our deployments. And for this demo, we're using this IntelliTrace deployment. And again, since I had set it up to have the remote desktop connection turned on, I can go right here and I can connect up to that instance. So we'll say connect, go ahead and open that, be prompted for our credentials that we entered. And now we're going to establish a remote desktop session to that instance running in the cloud. So kind of peering into the cloud at this point, or kind of looking at a view from inside the cloud. So here we are on that instance that was running. Let's go ahead and let's take a look at the file system and see what's going on there. So we'll go ahead and, drill into the computer instance here. It was saying E, site roots, and then it was looking for an uploads folder. Well, this could be part of the problem. I don't have an uploads folder. Right? Well, you know what? Let's do some quick editing here. Why don't we go ahead and say, okay, let's just create a new folder. Call it uploads. All right. Minimize that. Come back over here. Let's back ourselves up. Browse. Grab that. Open. Create. Contacts. Oh, thank you, whoever decided to hack my demo. That's awesome. All right. So, since someone decided to take the 33 seconds that they saw my SQL Azure credentials and be funny and jack up my database a little bit, we're going to have a lot of fun here for the next 28 minutes. So what we would have seen is that refresh would have worked because the upload was there, right? That folder was actually there. Now, that works right now, but remember, I mentioned these instances are transient, right? They're going to go away when we want to. When it comes back, that folder's not going to be there anymore. So we need something that's a little bit more persistent to make that actually work. Now, there's a couple things that we could do. I could go into my code, right, and in the contact controller, I could go change it, and I could write some code in here that said, okay, well, if that folder doesn't exist, go ahead and create it for me, right? So we could do something like that. That's fine, but I don't know. I don't really want to go and necessarily have to check for that all the time. What else could I do? Maybe there's something more I can do to describe the environment for myself and describe things for the Azure environment. So what I'll do is I'll go back into my Azure project, go into our contact manager, and one of the things we could do is declare that there's some local storage we want. Now, I've already done this, and I've declared that there's a folder I want to exist as part of this deployment going forward, and give it a size, couple meg, 10 meg, whatever I want. In this case, it's a very transient thing. We're just writing small files in and deleting them. So go ahead and say, let's just create it at 10 megabyte. And whenever the role recycles, just clean this out as well, just in case, right? This is something people often will use this if you want to do some temporary caching of information on a role instance, things like that. Just a way to declare there's some storage you want to use as part of that experience. Go back in here to our controller class, and now we'll just change our code so that rather than going and trying to map a path exactly, what we'll do instead is ask for that that local resource, right? Now, this is actually the first time we're going to be using anything unique to the Azure platform. So there's a couple things I'm going to need to do. First, I'll go in and we'll add some references to the Azure environment. And then we can go, and now we've got these assemblies that we can use, and we have these client libraries now that allow us to more easily work with what's going on in the in the Azure platform and take advantage of that. So we can go in here, and we could write some code that just says, okay, string upload dir equals, and we'll go ask the role environment to return one of those local settings for us, right? And it's actually going to get local resource. And we'll pass in the name of the resource we want, so I called it upload dir. And then we'll just go grab the root path off of that. Now, things aren't resolving right now because I've actually need to go import a namespace, most likely. We'll see if the Visual Studio tools actually know which one it is, and they do. So we'll go ahead and insert the service runtime stuff, and now you see those squiggles have gone away. Just like you'd expect in Visual Studio, right? Everything's just working the way you'd expect to. It's not that unique an environment. Add some references, miss a using, we'll grab it for you, and so forth. So now at this point, we should have the ability to have this directory we need be created for us when the instance is started so we can reliably know it's there and we can use it in our application. Now, in what I would have done for you guys before was I would have showed you using the web deploy thing that I could have done that first approach where I just went and checked for the directory and created if it didn't exist. And using web deploy, I could have published that new assembly up there right away, refreshed it, and things would have been fine. In this case, we changed the definition of the service. So I need to go through a complete deployment again so that Azure can go bring up the instance, have an opportunity to get in there, and create that resource for me that I was asking for. So that, again, would take a few minutes. Let me show you real quick just what this experience looks like for the web deploy if you haven't used it. So you notice when I was right-clicking here on the Azure project, on the cloud project, when I say publish, we get brought into the Azure publishing experience, right? So I say publish, and we're brought into this UI that walks me through which storage slot you want or which hosted service, slots, environments, and so forth as I go through. If I want to do a direct web deploy, I can go up to the web project and say publish, and now I have the standard web deploy project or the web publish that I'm used to from a web project, from an MVC project. And I can use the web deploy interface. This is a place where those publish profiles come in. By just choosing the publish profile, right, this is that same profile that was created as part of my first Azure deployment to that instance. And we grab the information we need to go and deploy via web deploy to that environment. So actually, here's what we're going to do. Let's do one thing real quick. Nope, that's not going to work because I hit the database right away. Never mind. Oh, actually, maybe it will. Let's do the contact list real quick. Let's do index. And, I got to be careful so I don't get fired for this, as annoyed as I am right now. Let's go find, let's go throw something in here. Okay, so we could just do something like that, right? Save this, publish this up using my web deploy. And if I still have that, once it's done, publish started. So it's going to go in and just send the file up once it figures out what needs to change. And this is just using standard web deploy to the published endpoint there. which fortunately has a password on it, so hopefully someone hasn't decided to try to hack that while I've been talking. So we publish this. Go over here. Let's just go hit my contacts. And you see that, thank you for messing with my demo, is showing up here, as well as a new contact that somebody decided to add via the site. Good fun. So, but you get the idea, right? I didn't have to spend that 6, 7, 5 minutes waiting for a full thing to deploy. I was able to just push some content up there right away and have it appear. Okay. Now, because I mentioned that because I had to go and specify the local resource, I changed the definition of the service. I changed the design of that. So we'll have to actually do a complete update deployment to get those things put in there. So I would go back to, in order to do that, I'll go back here to my Azure environment, say publish, and this time what I'll do is we'll go to the advanced settings, and rather than using IntelliTrace, let's turn on some profiling so that we can actually maybe go do a little code performance analysis of our solution. So here, this is just standard Visual Studio Profiler settings that we can use. So in this case, I'll just do some instrumentation. We can choose any of these we wanted to, any of these sets we wanted to. Obviously, the more you turn on, the more you impact the performance of your actual site that's running. So we just do the instrumentation one. When I say publish, this will go off and kick off a publish that will go and actually, instead of having IntelliTrace enabled, will enable the profiler plugin for me. Now, unfortunately, this is going to be fun. So that, again, will take a period of time. So what we saw here was the ability to use some pretty common tools like Remote Desktop to go in and peer into our running instance of Azure, take a look at things like the file system configuration. We can, we're logged into that instance. We can do whatever you would expect to be able to do when you're sitting at the console of a machine, right? So we can check out various configuration. We can look at IIS logs. That's a common thing people go do. In this case, we're just looking at the file system. We also saw how we can take advantage of the rich debugging experiences that we have in Visual Studio, things like IntelliTrace, and use that to get even more knowledge of how our application is executing and where the problem actually exists in our instance in Azure. So we can really start opening up what often looks like a black box to us and peer in a lot deeper to actually interact and see what's going on. Now let's switch gears a little bit and talk more about something I might want to do as I'm as my application's out there, I've got all the bugs fixed, right? So I'm not worried about exceptions and things like that. But now I want to go and actually understand how well is my site actually performing? Do I have some issues that are showing up in my application? What we could do here, this is awesome. So someone was nice enough to put some of my data back for me. So we can go through here and put in a record, and you notice that, when I was doing this and choosing, some photos and things like that, chose myself, created it, the performance here is not too bad, right? It's kind of going along. Let's go create another one. Let's do, maybe like Soma, right? That happened to be a picture I saw in there. Let's grab another photo, let's grab Soma, say create. This one appears to be taking longer, right? I'm not getting a consistent experience between what I had when I was doing myself and this. So something is different. Something is behaving differently. I know it's not an exception because I'm not getting exceptions. Nope, and it's working, right? It's completing, but something's happening differently. How am I going to figure that out in this Azure environment? Well, with profiling turned on, what I can do is I can come over here to Visual Studio in this other instance. Again, go to my Server Explorer, and now you see that in this time I'm connected up to the Contact Manager.profile instance, right? So this is the one that I've turned profiling on, as if that last deployment had gone. Right-click, and rather than IntelliTrace, you see I have View Profiling Report. So now what Visual Studio will do is go and download the profile information for me. And this could be a really interesting one, given the number of people that are clearly hitting my site. We'll see how easy it's going to be for me to get jump in and find our problem. But what it's going to do is going to go and it's going to analyze that. It's going to run its normal analysis on that and come down, and it's giving me the standard Visual Studio profiling report. Right? If I scroll down, thing everybody loves is it's showing me the hot path. Right? Like, what's the thing that's taking the most time through my application? And hey, what do you know? Sleep statements aren't usually good. And it appears I have a sleep statement in here. And that, if I look at the call stack, I say, oh, it's in my compressed image routine. I know, I recognize that. That's my code. Let's jump in there. Now we're taken directly to that area of code. Now sometimes, this is unfortunately an area where we get it right. Sometimes we don't get it right. Based on the code that you're looking at and the fact that it's jitted on the server, so we don't always get it 100% accurate in the Azure case. It got me the right function. It didn't give me the right line. And it actually looks like my local instance already taken the sleep statement out. Yeah, so my sleep statement's actually gone from this instance anyway. What we would have seen is I had put an intentional bug in here. You notice that it's looking to do a resize of the image, and it's saying, hey, if I don't need to resize it, just bail out. If I do come in here, and then you would have seen that the next line in here was sleep, right, for like 20 seconds. And it just so happened that the image of myself was nice and small, didn't need to be compressed. The other images were bigger, so it caused it to happen. So, but anyway, you get the idea. We can jump in, and we can take a look at what's going on, just like I could in my on-premise environment, just like I could anywhere else. The same Visual Studio tools, same Visual Studio experience is applying, right, even when I'm working in something like Azure. And giving me that rich experience. So this is also a place where people usually clap. Especially people that have seen a demo get hacked live, and I didn't run off and cry much. Okay, so let's switch back over to the PowerPoint machine for a second. Oh, so I had a question here locally. Was why would my local copy have removed the sleep statement? In all honesty, that's just a demo prep problem, as I probably was playing around with that instance and I removed it, but my deployed instance still had it. So that's why it found the function. It just couldn't find the exact line in my source code. It could find it in the IL because it was there. Okay, so you saw a demo of kind of working with a cloud project. You know, we talked about it a little bit while we were going through, but you know, remote desktop. Hands down, the number one thing we were asked for when Azure first came out. Let me get into that machine and look at it. Showed you a couple, an example of how that can be kind of helpful. One of the things that we really wanted to do, though, was obviously make sure that as a developer, you really can debug these things easily. Because we have a local simulation environment, you know, the compute simulator. We'll go and simulate the vast majority of the environment that happens up in Azure. The code that it's running is actually very much the same code that runs in an Azure instance, so it's actually the same thing there. The difference is that we are working against your local machine when you're F5-ing, and so whatever you've done to your file system, right, that we're running against is always going to persist because you have a persistent file system there. So things like my upload directory, once I created that in my project, that was there for me, and I would never have noticed until I actually went to Azure that it was missing. And again, you have that rich, you know, I wasn't even there, but I get to go back and look at it experience. On the code performance side, again, looking at just the standard Visual Studio profiler and the ability to pull that into my experience as well, so I can capture timings of code execution, CPU usage, memory consumption, all those kinds of things that you would want to gather as profiling data, pull that down, let the Visual Studio profiler analyze that and help me understand where my application may be having problems, and things like the very popular, you know, hot path capability is right there, allowing me to quickly drill in. Some things you'll find in the Azure environment, depending on what you're working with, depending on the experience, the type of solution you're having, you know, you do have a few cases where some of the just startup aspects of the Azure instance become the hot path for a while, like when it initially starts up. So you may see that the startup time of the worker role is just taking the most. You got to drill past the first one into the next one or let it run for a little bit longer. This is the case where, fortunately, the folks that were hitting my little demo sites probably did me a favor in this case by putting enough activity in there that they trounced any startup time that we would have seen, and the hot bath really was the real problem in the app. So that was that. Since we have a couple minutes, let me switch over and show you a couple other things, going back to the demo machine, about the Visual Studio experience that I think are kind of neat. So I mentioned that in the Server Explorer, you know, we have the ability to go and look at these role instances. Let's go ahead and, for fun, just to show you, you know, if I go ahead and change the instance count here, when I F5 this, right, what we're going to see is that the simulator is going to, we're going to come up under the simulation environment again. And if I go open the compute emulator, we'll see that now when I expand this and they're up and going, we now have both instances. So I can actually go in and see kind of log information from both of those. I can see kind of the output of what's going on there and the activity. And now I've got the software load balancer in place. So I can do some basic kinds of things here. Now, you're not going to get everything as far as load balancing done as part of simulation environment. We know that, but it at least gives you a little bit better step towards the experience. Visual Studio, we've also done quite a bit of work to help you recognize when your solution may not work in Azure and try to catch some of the top things that trip people up. Actually, the IntelliTrace demo I used to do all the time was with an MVC project where the MVC assemblies weren't part of the default web role install or the web role instance, so they needed to be kind of bin deployed. And by default, you wouldn't know to do that. You'd run it locally fine. When you go move up, boom, they're missing. So now one of the things we do in Visual Studio is we will do an analysis of your project, and we will recognize, based on what we understand to be present in the role instance, which assemblies you have that you haven't gotten as part of your package yet. So any of your custom assemblies that maybe are GACked locally on your machine obviously won't be GACked or won't necessarily be GACked in your role instance, so we'll flag that for you. We treat these as warnings because there are lots of ways people can get custom assemblies onto their role instance, but we want to at least alert you to the fact that something doesn't look quite right here. There's a fairly extensible set of rules that we run there in that case, and we'll keep it, getting them richer and richer. In the server kind of explorer space, a few other things we do. We give you, admittedly, a somewhat feeble view at storage. We give you an okay read-only view of what's available in your storage accounts. So if I wanted to go through here, this ought to be interesting. That instance isn't happy with me. Well, if we were to expand that, we could go and look at all the images that people have been uploading into my various sites. We wouldn't see the images, but we just see the names that were put in there. And we can run queries against that using just straight OData queries against the images. Same thing for tables. This is a place that we've gotten quite a bit of feedback. People like us to get a richer experience for interacting with these things. I know there's a lot of great third-party tools out there for interacting with this. Something we're looking at is enabling a little bit better kind of two-way capabilities here with just our basic in Visual Studio experiences for that. Another thing you might want to do, pretty popular thing that's been happening is the idea of leveraging things like NuGet, right? So there's a number of NuGet packages out there related to Azure development. So one of the things I could do, for example, is come in here and decide that as part of my MVC application, I've got membership available. Fortunately, I don't have it turned on right now, or maybe unfortunately. But if we wanted to turn that on, in some cases, we need a new set of membership providers to be installed. So there happens to be a NuGet package out there that I could use, or I could just come in here and say install package, you know, system.web.providers. And we'll go out and we'll grab that NuGet package, which contains these new universal membership providers that understand how to talk to SQL Server, SQL Compact, or SQL CE, and SQL Azure, right? All within the same thing. We'll get them installed, get them referenced in your application, and get the web config switched for you so that you're working against them. All just through a NuGet kind of system there. And again, there's a number of these out there. I think I even noticed that Wade may have showed one or two. Wade and Steve may have showed one or two a moment earlier in their cloud cover demos. So great way for folks that are into that experience to get these things in there. We'll be providing more and more of the standard kind of class library projects or class libraries for accessing services through that as well to get them into your environment quickly and easily. So just a few more aspects. The real thing to take away here is that even though you're working against a different environment, this cloud environment, we still want the Visual Studio experience to be consistent and familiar. So the things that you learned, the techniques that you used, the capabilities of Visual Studio from the core editor experience all the way through to the debugging experience should remain consistent even when going into that environment. On top of that, we then try to layer things that are unique to each of these platforms. So things like these validation rules for looking at, you know, known assemblies in the GAC of a role instance versus not, and what you're using in your project to alert you to what's going on, the activity log to help you see what's happening as part of your deployments, and so forth as you're working through. Just to make sure everybody's clear, I know there's a couple questions people have a lot. The capabilities I showed you as it relates to IntelliTrace and the profiler, those are not capabilities that are available in the Visual Studio Professional environment or in the Web Developer Express environment. They're in the higher end versions of Visual Studio. And your deployment UI, the wizard that comes through, understands which version of Visual Studio you're running in, so we'll gray out those options if they're not available to you as part of that experience. Otherwise, I think that's really kind of what sums it up. You know, when you think about Visual Studio, you think about Azure development, it should be consistent. It should be, you know, familiar to you. You can get up and running, you know, with a straightforward application pretty quickly, right? And the things you find, the things you need to change really are going to be based on the type of application you're building and places where you're expecting, you know, statefulness of the environment. You know, those kinds of things are where you're going to get tripped up the first time. But remember, you've got Visual Studio, you've got tools like IntelliTrace, you've got capabilities like Remote Desktop, you know, there to back you up and help you quickly figure out what's going on. You can iterate quickly by using things like Web Deploy. If all you're doing is changing code, changing markup, you can get that pushed out very quickly and working with your environment. So with that, I want to thank you guys for your time and thank whoever it was that played with the other environment for me. And enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks.